This is James Corbett of CorbettReport.com. It's the 19th of June 2010 here in the land of the rising sun, and today I'm honored to be joined on the line once again by Splitting the Sky, a Mohawk actor, activist, speaker, researcher, and a man who has been resisting tyranny in all of its forms since at least the 1970s when he took part in the Attica State Prison Uprising. In recent years, he's been a passionate and informative speaker on the issue of 9/11 truth, and his work can be found at splittingthesky.net and splittingthesky.blogspot.com. Splitting the Sky, it's an honor to have you back on the program today. Thank you very much for joining me.
James, it's really great to be speaking to you and to the wonderful people from the great country, Japan.
Excellent. Well, now, perhaps my long-term listeners will remember that we did speak twice last year, first shortly before ex-U.S. puppet George W. Bush came to speak at the TELUS Convention Center in Calgary, Alberta, and then once again shortly after you were arrested for attempting to make a citizen's arrest of Bush at that same event. But for those who might be new to this story, tell them a little bit about that day and how you came to be manhandled and arrested as you tried to enter the convention center.
Yes, well, what happened is around the end of February, we found of 2009, we found out that George Bush was going to test the waters, and for the very first time after leaving office in 2008, he was going to try to speak around the world, different countries. And the first place that he decided he was going to have a talk was going to be at the TELUS Convention Center in Calgary, Alberta. Now, the thing about Calgary, Alberta is it really is a hub. It's actually called Texas North because there are so many people in Calgary that are affiliate with major oil industries like Exxon and BP and a number of different oil refinery companies function out of Calgary. And they're also very involved in extrapolating unlimited amounts of oil from the tar sands in southern Alberta. And so basically what they had was is that it was really probably the best possible place for George Bush to test the waters and see how he'd be received internationally, especially in light of the fact that there was a lot of stuff coming out, emerging at that time, that he and his administration had authorized torture and the murders of various innocent peoples in this bogus war on terror that they created back in 2003 in the war on Iraq. Well, actually, back to August of September of 2001. When they manufactured an inside job in order to justify an incursion into the Mideast for all the oil in the Caspian Sea Basin and the gas in the pipelines in that region, as well as the established military bases to protect their interests. So anyways, George Bush was invited to attend the TELUS convention, and there was going to be 1,500 delegates there that were going to pay $400 a plate to hear him speak, and he was offered $150,000 honorarium to speak. Well, of course, many of us had heard about that and were totally appalled that this guy was, in fact, going to come to Canada and to give a speech, especially in light of the fact that Canada, on our law books, there is law under the Immigration and Refugees Act of Canada that basically states that war criminals will not be allowed into the country, credibly accused war criminals. And, of course, we had enough evidence on George Bush and his whole regime to indict them for war crimes. And this same Immigration and Refugees Act that we tried to keep George Bush out of the country, there was a woman by the name of Gail Davidson from the Lawyers Against War. She chairs it out of Vancouver. And she had written a letter to the commissioner of the RCMP demanding that he not be allowed into the country, or if that he did get into the country, he'd be arrested, upon exiting the plane, and jailed and held over to be held before some sort of war crimes tribunal and or commission. So in any event, the commissioner never did get back to her until the 19th, where they said they weren't going to arrest him. But by this time, it was planned for the 17th. This same law they used to keep Jason Kenney, who was an MLA from the Alberta region, basically had petitioned to keep British MP George Galloway out of this country for so quote unquote for fraternizing with terrorist organizations, that being Hamas. Of course, well, we know that George Galloway and many other people like those who recently in the flotillas are basically just on humanitarian missions trying to get goods, medical goods and food supplies and clothing to the devastated peoples, the battered and the butchered and battered peoples of Gaza. So in any event, George Bush came into the town that morning. We organized roughly almost 700 people to be there to demand Bush to be not allowed in and to arrest George Bush on site. Now, I strategically used the tactic of trying to talk with the police officers on more than three occasions, I think about four occasions, and demanded that they arrest George Bush for war crimes instead of standing there holding the line protecting the interests of the rich and the powerful in the whole military-industrial corporate complex there. And so, of course, they refused, said they said nothing, and they basically said that they weren't going to stop George Bush from attending that gathering to give that talk. And I said that if they didn't, on the next time I came back, if they refused to go in there and arrest George Bush, I, in fact, was going to break the line and go through there, the police line, and attempt to serve him the legal documents necessary and demand that the closest officer right there throw the handcuffs on him and throw him in jail. Well, as I attempted, this is the fourth or fifth time, and I said, are you going to arrest him? And they said, no. I said, well, then get out of my way. I'm going to do it. I started to go in, exit. Now, if you go splitting this guy, arrest Bush, you can see the and click on the videos, you can see what actually happened. At one point, I started to go through the line. A guard grabbed me, and I just deflected his arm off of mine. I rerouted and came back at another end. I went to grab two bikes, and then I was pulled. Actually, I was obviously pulled through the line by the head of the command unit there and the four other cops, and they threw me to the ground, smashed my face into the cement, broke my glasses, and ripped my coat apart, and then handcuffed me. And then as I stood up, I could see that there were a number of Bush Secret Service hitmen going for their guns, their pistols, and there were also snipers all over the roof aiming their guns, sharpshooters aiming their guns right at me, as well as cameras from all over the place coming out. And so I heard one guy say, he's got a gun. No, he just hit the officer. And that's when I quickly stood up and I yelled out loud for people to hear. I said, I never touched you. I never touched anybody. And you can hear that in the video. Because then this way it kind of, it subsided the possibility of them shooting me. So in any event, I was arrested. So I caught my breath. I said, arrest Bush, not me. Arrest Bush, not me. And the crowd got very spirited and they chanted along with that. And then I was put in a paddy wagon. When I got over to the Calgary Holding Center, they roughed me up pretty good while I was inside until Ramsey Clark, the former U.S. Attorney General of the United States, and Gail Davison and others called the prison and demanded that they treat me humanely. And, of course, at that time, they realized I was more than just your common Indian that they could criminalize on the street. I spent 24 hours in there. The next morning I was out, and then on a $500 bond, and then I was charged with obstructing a police officer in the performance of their duty. Well, I always contended that they never, in fact, did their duty, and, in fact, I instructed them to do their duty, and they obstructed me from performing a citizen's arrest in the absence of them executing Canadian law on credibly accused war criminals. So subsequently, I went to court and had the quote. I decided to plead not guilty. I refused to be criminalized and to allow the real criminals to not be apprehended, that they should get away scot-free once again for the crimes that they've committed in Iraq and Afghanistan, and I'm sure they're going to be committing it very soon. That whole cabal in Iran and Venezuela are the next major charge of flashpoints. So in any event, I got the case held over for almost a year. On March the 7th, March the 10th of this year. No, March the 7th. No, I'm sorry, March the 10th. I went to court, and we began the trial. And I had hoped to get Ramsey Clark to come in and give testimony, as well as Cynthia McKinney, the former congresswoman from Georgia. And she had been attending some pretty big hearings in Malaysia, Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And she was there with the War Crimes Commission, where she also had addressed my case to an international audience of thousands of delegates that were at that that war crimes tribunal. So in any event, by the time we got sent, we spent well over $3,000 trying to get her from Great Britain back over to the trial. But in the meantime, the Crown put on four witnesses, and there were four policemen, and the one police guy, the head of the unit, the investigative unit there, the police squad, basically stated on the stand that if he hadn't pulled me through and threw me on the ground, he said that Bush's snipers would have killed me. That's what he heard on, that they were going to snuff me. They were going to kill me on the spot. They were going to execute me. And so here we got a war criminal that's killing everybody with impunity worldwide. He has the guts and the nerve to bring his Secret Service and his Blackwater-type snipers to come into Canada and to potentially create an execution on me, to execute me in my own homeland here.
Absolutely incredible. In any event, absolutely incredible. And they would have gotten away with it, which is the ridiculous part of it. And unfortunately, you're right, they have set the precedent now that George Bush can go around to other countries and he won't be arrested as a war criminal. So this is just so incredible and so important that people understand what's been happening here and what happened to you. But sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please continue.
So anyways, the cops gave their testimony, and then I ended up giving testimony. Well, I was trying to get Gail Davison from LAW, but she was pretty caught up dealing with the Omar Khadr case, so she really couldn't come out for mine at that point. But we did enter as evidence the letter that we sent to the RCMP and the law relative to Bush not being allowed, Immigration and Refugee Act of Canada, according to Canadian law. We entered it as an exhibit, and I also entered my brother and colleague, Professor Anthony Hall, his Bush League Justice, which is an article that you can Google, and we submitted that as evidence, and he also had a very big struggle with my lawyer, who was a guy by the name of Charles Davison. And Charles put on a good defense, but he wanted to keep it right airtight just to the charges, and he didn't really want to go too deep into the Bush crimes, even though he was totally in support of the fact on political levels that we were fighting this on, you know, Bush for his crimes. But in the meantime, so Anthony Hall never really did get to testify. I gave about 5 hours of testimony, and I laid out all of the crimes of the Bush administration, and I basically said that I was establishing my mens rea, or my state of mind for the reasons I did what I did, and the reasons why I believe I had the right to apprehend this war criminal, and for all of the crimes, the tortures, and the murders that were committed, as well as the inside job that was perpetuated on September 11th, 2001. And I said, for all the stated reasons above, this is the reason why I did what I did, and I believe that I am not guilty. I had the right to do what I did. Well, after the testimony was given, I had no other witnesses. Cynthia McKinney came in the next day, and then we gave a talk at the university, but the judge reserved the decision for 90 days till June the 7th. Now, we just went back there June the 7th. Ramsey Clark, we brought in from the U.S., and we brought him to give a character reference. He gave a very heartfelt character reference on my behalf and basically said that he and I have been struggling together since Attica days in early 1970s, and that we've been on a number of different political fronts and demonstrations, and we have been working together for over 35 years, and not only have we become the best of friends, but he felt like he was a father to me. You know, he loved me that much. And that we were basically, man, as close as any two human beings could possibly be. So in any event, the judge took that into consideration. I think the judge was going by way of the Crown. The Crown wasn't looking for time, but they wanted a fine. The judge, I think, was going to slap some time on me, but my lawyer asked for a conditional discharge, which would basically put me on a year's, which basically has put me on a year's probation. And if I get in any trouble between now and that year, I can be given the 2 years of the charge, the original charge for Bush. I could be given 2 years in jail and a $5,000 fine plus the new charge or whatever it is that I get. But if I don't get in any trouble between now and a year from now, I can then have come off of probation, and I can then also not have a criminal record here. So, but in any event, even though I took it as far as I could, I really couldn't go any further. I couldn't go any further because I have gone into a lot of financial debt, really, you know, doing this, and a lot of my time and energy has been taken from here. I couldn't carry on anymore in terms because I had no financial backing to keep going. It's a very costly thing going from one province to the other, and trying to. I owe my lawyer right now $5,000, and we were also given a $1,000 fine. We were given a $1,000 fine to be donated to my the charity of my choice, but the probation officer would have to agree to the charity that we wanted to donate the $1,000 to. Well, a very good friend of mine named John Duddy agreed to pay the $1,000 fines, and he and I both agreed that the best thing that we would do, that our favorite charity at the moment, would be to donate that $1,000 to the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth. And so that's pretty much where we're at. But now I went and saw the probation officer here yesterday, or day before yesterday, and she told me that initially that, okay, when she took that information, I told her she could contact John Duddy, and that if they approved it, then he would send the check to them and send the receipt to her. But then she called me back later and said, "Oh, well, her supervisor says that not to pay that off yet. She wanted to talk to me specifically back at the probation office on June the 30th that afternoon." And so I think they're going to have a problem with me making a donation to that for all the intents and political intents and you know for the obvious surrounding the 9/11 issue. But I, along with John Duddy, will continue to keep fighting it. We're going to keep fighting. Even if we got 6 months to pay it, we got to pay it by November, and we're not going to pay it. And we're just going to keep fighting and demanding the right to, because the Architects and Engineers for 9/11 Truth, they are a foundation with a 501c3 status, tax exempt down in the U.S. So if they have a tax exempt in the U.S. For that purpose, that's what we want to donate our money to.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea. And of course, they shouldn't be able to tell you that you can't donate to that charity, but they shouldn't have been able to arrest you for the citizen's arrest of Bush either. So unfortunately, they're the ones who are making the rules at this point because they have the money and the guns. But absolutely. And if that doesn't work out, perhaps you could try something like the Feel Good Foundation or something for 9/11 first responders. But certainly.
Absolutely. I'll run that by John. But we really want to fight that, you know, as much as possible. And just and that is the last resort, that we were looking at Feel Good and a couple other potentials at the same time.
Excellent. Well, it is good to hear that, and it is good to see that hopefully something, at least tiny bit of good, can come out of this after all. As we say, that the precedent has been set for war criminal George Bush to run around the globe unimpeded, and that's a horrible precedent to have. But you certainly did your part, and you did what you could to try to convict him of the war crimes. And the millions of people who have died based on the lies of 9/11.
Yes.
Just a tragic event. Okay, well, moving forward then, so what can we look forward to next from Splitting the Sky?
Well, you know what? I really don't know at the moment. I mean, I'm continuing my research around 9/11 Truth, and I intend to try to, well, first of all, I got appeal to audiences like on your radio show, the folks, man, to help me pay up these legal debts here. If people can help, then contact me at splitting thesky@yahoo.com. And I'll tell you how to direct any potential funds that way to me so I can pay this lawyer off here. And I think I'm really looking close to the juxtaposed related issues here in British Columbia that has to do with pipelines, oil pipelines from the same Halliburton, BP, and different international oil cartels that are running pipelines and oil from here, from Alberta out through British Columbia into the coast, and to be sent over to China. So I'm really looking at establishing peaceful blockades, you know, our road, you know, roadblocks, man, to stop that. It's the same issue that, you know, the people in Pakistan and Afghanistan are dying for daily and trying to stop pipelines going through their territory. You know, so I see a juxtaposed position, but I also got to be very careful because I got to watch myself at all times, because the way I'm looking at it, they can set me up for the slightest damn thing, and the next thing you know, I get that charge and I'm set up, and before you know it, I could be hauled off to jail for 2 years plus, and whatever else that comes with that. So I got to keep my eyes open sharp, but you can believe one thing, you will never hear the end of this mouth, and what comes out of this mouth is nothing but pure truth as I understand it and see it, and pure moral conviction in order to oppose it. So that's where it's coming from, and I'm just dealing with a bunch of things at the moment right now. I've got some personal things that I have to deal with my own self right here and come to grips with, and so it's lots of issues that I have to deal with and get myself together. But for the most part, I'll continue being the activist I've been for 40 years now, and I am a relentless activist and a relentless pursuer for truth and justice.
Well, absolutely. You've been accused of many things over the years and convicted of some of them, but you have definitely never been accused of being a man who would not stand up for his beliefs and not voice his opinion. So we're looking forward to everything that comes out from you over the next year as you're walking on eggshells here with this new court order. So if people are interested in supporting you financially, the best way to do that is just get in touch with you and you'll send them some details.
Yes, and or they can send a check or money order to, or send some funds through the bank if they want to. But to John Boncore, Boncore, Post Office Box 1492, Chase, BC, that's British Columbia, BC. V as in Victor, 0, E as in Emily, 1, M as in Michael, 0.
Excellent. Well, Splitting the Sky, as always, pleasure talking to you, and best of luck for you in all of your future activism. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with us today.
And thank you very much, James, and thank you very, very, very much for your ongoing commitment to getting that truth out there with the great medium that you use.